Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Hey, it's Adam Carolla. You may know him from putting his body on the line in Jackass, but now Johnny Knoxville is bringing you the wildest stories from the bravest folks he knows on his newest podcast, Pretty Sure I Can Fly. With his co-host, Elna Baker, they have incredible firsthand accounts from folks who surfed 100-foot waves, ride 600 miles per hour in a rocket sled, and wrestle crocodiles just for fun. They've been talking with brave souls who throw caution to the wind and push the boundaries of what humans are capable of. Or, as Johnny would say, they're talking to people who have more balls than a bowling alley. I'm Pretty Sure I Can Fly. Johnny and Elna bring you personal stories from unsung heroes that are part comedy, part adrenaline, and all heart. These are the inspirational, hold my beer stories that will make you want to grab the bull by the horns, literally and figuratively. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcast. You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly right now, early and free, right now on Wondery Plus. First, 8sleep.com. Every podcast has mattress ads, sure, but there's thousands of them. But the only one out there that uses technology and temperature to give you the deepest sleep is 8sleep. The pod by 8sleep, first bed to combine dynamic temperature regulation and sleep tracking. Oh, God, I could have had a decent childhood if I had one of these when I was young. All I did was sweat and toss and turn. Now I have 8sleep. Research shows the link between sleep performance and temperature. Of course, you don't need to research that. We all know it. The pod reacts in real time, adjusting the temp to keep you comfortable. The stats say it all. Pod customers fall asleep faster, toss and turn 25% less, and have a 17% increase in deep sleep. You're worth it. Right now, you get $150 off your pod and free shipping when you go to 8sleep.com/classic. That's 8sleep.com/classic. E-I-G-H-T sleep.com/classic.
Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Go to geico.com today. Hello and welcome to Carolla Classics for February 8th, 2020, the show where we highlight the greatest moments of the Adam Carolla Show by playing you clips of those moments. My name is Chris Loxamana, executive producer of the Adam Carolla Show, and with me, as always, Carolla archivist, superfan Giovanni.
Hey everybody, happy Saturday.
And happy Saturday to you, Gio. I'm excited for some clips. Now, back in 2010, we were banking shows, and Adam did a shorter ACS that actually got lost into the mix. You can tell us all about it.
Yeah, it's the only lost episode of the Adam Carolla Show. People wonder, like, how many episodes haven't they released? None. You know, there's those live episodes I did for Podcast One Premium, where you can subscribe and still get those. But for the most part, everything else has been released, except for this one tiny piece. It's Adam Carolla Show 399. It was recorded right before that Donald Logue episode we've already played. It's from September of 2010. Nothing scandalous or crazy happens. Adam does an intro and an outro. He just takes phone calls. It's an Adam and you. And I think they meant to do something with it at some point, and nobody ever did. And then I knew about it for years. I've heard it, but nobody else heard it. So I think we aired it as best of in like a holiday break, you know, maybe 5 years ago. And we've tried to put it out a few different ways, but the majority of the audience has never heard this. And it's the Lost Adam Carolla Show, episode 399.
Adam and you.
Is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, you. Adam's taking your phone calls in a special How Say You episode. And now, it was called Amateur Bation until he started doing it. Adam Carolla.
Yeah. Good one, Mike Lynch. Get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on. Mandate, get it on. All right, open phone lines. I'm going to hop on them with a little How Say You. Let's just start at the top. We haven't screened these things. We just put a Twitter out, so we'll just jump to the top, go down to the bottom, and see what you have to say. Lights are blinking, so I'm assuming someone's there. Caller?
Hello.
What's your name?
Agustin.
Agustin.
What's up, Adam?
What's happening, Agustin?
Hey, someone brought up the idea a while back of having a contest, and the winner would go with you to one of Jimmy Kimmel's Sunday football parties.
Yeah,
I had thought of that before. So
that was one of the thoughts you'd had before.
Yeah, and then someone brought it up on the podcast
mm-hmm.
a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
So, did you ever have any thoughts about that?
I had a dream last night that I was playing high school football. And here's how fucking low my self-esteem is. There was nobody in the stands. The field was mostly dirt. The grass was all fucked up. And I had a helmet, except for my helmet. My helmet was fine. I had the chin straps and the face mask and all that. But those weird little snap-in pads that go under your ears on the side of the helmet. A guy named Augustine's probably never worn a football helmet, though, right? You've kicked a soccer ball across the planet back and forth. You've circumnavigated the globe kicking a soccer ball, but you've never put a football helmet on, right, Augustine?
Yeah.
Okay.
I play flag football.
Flag football. By the way, that just go ahead and get rid of the L in that flag football. That's what you're left with.
Flag football.
Flag. Just go ahead and pull the L out of there. That's what they should really call it, what it is. I'd like to modify every sign that said flag football, kids welcome. Anyway, all right, here's the point. I knew you've never put on a helmet before, Augustine, because you have a crazy name. I had a dream I was playing with one and had none of those ear pads. They snap out, or they used to. I don't know if they do anymore. That was back in the old days. Maybe I'm dating myself. Either way, here's the thing about Kimmel. Kimmel has enough riffraff rolling around that place on any given Sunday to last him a year. He doesn't need any more people from my lowly little podcast coming over there and hanging out. And by the way, knowing his home address and coming back and raping him later on in the night, which he would enjoy, but still. Thank you, Augustine.
All right.
Take care of yourself, my brother.
You, man.
All right. Let's see. Who's next? Opinion on American Girl dolls. Wants to know if we figured out a way of men balls hang out in public locker. Let's just keep rolling. Kevin?
Yeah, how you doing?
Kevin, you calling from Cincinnati?
Yeah, well, just south of, but nobody knows where the hell north he is, so.
How is Cincinnati?
I've enjoyed it, you know. I'm a big baseball fan, so it's been a good season to me, too, but yeah.
Yeah, big red machine.
Yeah,
They don't call the Reds the big red machine anymore, do they?
They still reference it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's kind of like a heritage thing. Mm-hmm. They still talk about it.
All right. So, yeah, but, how nice is Cincinnati? A nice city. I mean, be a good city to live in, raise a family.
A lot of people, you know, they really harp, you know, like on crime status and this and that. You know, they kind of like to say, well, you know, it's kind of dangerous inner city, but, you know, nobody cares. It's shaped up. It used to be worse from what I'm told, but...
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. So yeah, what do you do over there, Kevin?
Say again, sir?
What do you do in Cincinnati?
Right now, I actually am serving kind of as a paralegal without a degree, without a paralegal certificate for a attorney in Northern Kentucky.
Uh-huh. Sure,
you
makes
know,
sense.
Kind of BS in it, but
isn't the Kentucky airport in Cincinnati?
Yeah, Covington.
Yeah, that's the
yeah,
only thing I remember.
That's where you fly into if you come here. So
yeah, Drew and I flew in there to do like the University of Kentucky or something like that, and I remember flew into Cincinnati, and I remember flying out of it, crazy rainstorm, and just had like 9 hours to kill at the airport. Thank Christ for booze.
Yeah, it doesn't rain too much here, but as soon as it does, it's
when it does, look
the valley.
The fuck out. Yeah. So, Kevin, your question is?
My question is, I'm about 2 years out of school. I've been trying to save up some money to, you know, do something with my life after undergrad. And I'm looking at either med school or law school. Had pretty good grades, about 3.8. And I just wanted to say, you know, what do you think the world needs more of?
Well, we don't need more lawyers, and... here's all I can say about lawyering, and I've said it once, I'll say it again. There's no other profession that you dedicate that much time, that much education, and that much money to, and then abandon 8 years into your career. I mean, every asswipe in Hollywood, every asswipe executive I've ever worked with used to be an attorney. And it's crazy. I mean, it's like I said, you don't run into a lot of people going, yeah, I used to be a doctor. I was an astronaut for a while, but I gave that up. Like, you don't have that kind of money and time extraction and then just give it up willy-nilly.
Yeah.
There are a lot of people that are willing to become attorneys, you know, pass the bar, so on and so forth, and then just walk away from a career, which is, you know, a pretty lucrative career. So that says something to me about that career. I think it grinds people down. And I know there's a million different kinds of law, but I really I really think it grinds you. I feel like it grinds you and spits you out. On the other hand, the medical profession, from, you know, when Dr. Drew used to whine about it like a stuck pig constantly about how he wasn't getting paid and how, you know, the government has fucked everything up and it's not worth being a doctor anymore and blah, 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 blah. That sounded like a bitch, too. But except for at least that, there's a social side of it. I mean, you feel like you're doing something. You're helping people.
Okay.
And then there's a million different directions you can go there. Like, if you were going to be a doctor, what kind of doctoring would you like to do?
Myself, I would actually kind of lean towards a sort of a general practice, but that's just, you know, I know that's kind of a dying breed.
Yeah, and then if you're an attorney, what do you think you'd like to do?
Litigation.
Yeah, because also, every attorney I've ever met, nothing ever makes it to a court, you know? So there's that thing where you think you're going to be wearing a powdered wig and pointing your finger at some guy yelling, "No, you're out of order!" But it never happens. You end up making a couple of snarky phone calls. You send a shitty email, and then someone gives you a check.
Yeah,
that's what it turns out to be. I would say, let me ask you this: what would your dad like you to do?
Well, my father's an attorney, and my mother is a practicing physician.
Jesus,
so.
I'm going to kick the shit out of my loser parents if you keep talking.
Yeah, so I apologize about that. But he'd say, do your mother's job, and she'd say, do your father's job, so.
Well, I'm trying to think. I mean, obviously, in success, you'll be fine either way you go. There's probably more guaranteed money for less schooling. I mean, you want to be a doctor, you have twice as much schooling, if not more, right?
Yeah, it's pretty long.
Pretty rigorous, and pretty expensive.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah, no, that's for certain, trust me. The money's definitely factoring into the decision a little bit.
But. Well, how does it go? I mean, your parents make a nice living. Will they give you a hand, or will they just tell you to take some loans, sell some plasma, and blow some dudes?
They'll probably help me out on, like, basics, like, you know, maybe, like, you know, spot me, like, food or something.
Here's a peachy folder. Hit the bricks.
Car, tuition, that all falls to me because they want me to make it on my own.
Yeah.
And I can understand that respect.
Well, make it on your own after you're done with med school. That's what I tell my old man. Listen.
Take it, run with it while I can.
Kevin, I really, at age 22, and I know it's a confusing, see, people don't really factor this in. It's tough. I'm very jealous of those people who tell you they knew exactly what they wanted to do by the ninth grade. I hate those ass wipes. I want to fucking backhand them with a slipper.
Yeah.
It's tough. And as a guy, and by the way, I know I sound like a sexist pig here, but women don't feel that kind of pressure. They just go, like, what do you want to do? I don't know. Cocktail waitress, have a good time, blow some Israeli dude, and get married to him if he's got enough money. I mean, I know I sound like a fuckstick here, but what I'm saying is as a guy, you have that weird pressure, like, I got to provide, I got to pay for the family, I got to have some sort of career. I mean, even if you're going alone, just for your dignity, I do like the way
ambitions.
Here's the bottom line.
Go ahead.
The doctor-lawyer thing is sort of the difference between cop-fireman, and I'll tell you this. People like firemen a lot more than they like cops. Cops come with baggage. Chicks like firemen. They don't like cops. Everyone thinks firemen are heroes, and cops, they're a little bit mixed on. And that's the exact same difference between doctor and lawyer. Yeah, there's some good lawyers, and you make some good money, and, you know, chicks sort of like them, but they all love a doctor. Everyone does that. Every Jewish mother wants their daughter to marry what? A doctor.
Yeah.
Lawyer second. So I'd go doctor first. But you got to follow your heart, Kevin.
I understand.
And listen, you don't need to know either.
You don't have any firemen running, you know, the click it or ticket campaign.
Yes. Thanks, Kevin.
Hey, well, I appreciate it, man.
Take care.
Big listener. Really appreciate it. Thank
Thanks
you
for listening. Give those winner parents of yours a big fat smooch from me. doctor mom and a lawyer dad. Jesus Christ. Danny?
Yes.
What's going on there, Danny?
Not much. How are you doing?
Doing good.
My question was about riding the hammer, like the process you and Kevin went through and, like, putting down from your ideas, from stories, to putting on paper, to kind of maybe trying to sell it to studios, and then, you know, that whole process is... Because me and a buddy have an idea of what we want to do. We think it would actually work. People would actually watch it. But we're kind of both have no idea what to do.
Yeah. I was driving up Coldwater Boulevard for some reason. I remember right where I was, and I'd been thinking about doing a feature, an independent feature, and I knew, as with almost everything I've ever done, that nobody was ever going to let me do it or ask me to star in their film, so I sort of knew I was going to have to come up with the premise, and I was just sort of realistic about what I wanted to do. I knew that I liked boxing, and I knew if it was semi-autobiographical, I could pull it off. So I thought, well, what would the twist be here? Because there's been a million Rocky movies and just a million boxing movies. And then I thought, well, an amateur movie. And then I thought, well, there hasn't been a lot of amateur boxing movies. And then I thought, what about an old guy boxing at the amateur level? And I thought, well, that could be good because you got your fish out of water thing. So I contacted my buddy Kevin Hench because I know a lot of riders, but this guy, Kevin Hench, knows a lot about sports, and he was a really good sports writer. He's a really good writer, but he's also a really knowledgeable sports writer. So first thing I did is I went to the guy who knew the topic that I wanted to write about and paired up with that guy. After that, it just became this process, this very slow, this sort of process of sort of fleshing out ideas and having an arc and showing it to people and having enough jokes and enough story to keep things moving and so on and so forth. And then eventually when we got it done, we pitched it around, it seems like, to about every place we could in town. And the bottom line is if Adam Sandler is going to play Adam Carolla in The Hammer, then it gets made. If Adam Carolla is going to play Adam Carolla in The Hammer, then it's not going to get made. It's pretty simple, and I don't want to sound jaded. These guys, you know, Will Smith or Will Ferrell or Will Arnett or anyone named Will and anyone named Adam, those guys busted their ass to get where they are, and unfortunately, there's a little bit of a monopoly. And the way it works is you could have a kick-ass script, but who's attached to it? That's what they want to know. Or conversely, you could have a piece of shit script, but who's attached to it? And if you could get someone attached to your script, then you're in great shape. If it's just going on the merits of the script, you're going to have trouble.
Okay, so it's just who you know.
You going through a drive-thru or are you a cop?
No, I'm actually working and my work radio is going off.
Work radio is a bad sign.
Yes, yes.
It's almost like a name tag. It's an electronic version of a name tag. It's not quite as bad. I'm trying to think. Work radio, unless you're a fireman or a cop, is a bad thing. Are you driving a hack?
No. I'm driving a rollback, 110 rollback. I deliver construction equipment.
Oh, you do?
Yes.
Oh, in Vegas in August. Must be 2,000 degrees.
Actually, this year's not as bad as it's been in the past.
Yeah, it's weird. It's been kind of mild. Someone should ask Al Gore how that works.
Yeah,
listen, Danny, here's what I would say. And here's what I would say to anybody who's thinking about doing anything creatively. Don't sell it before you write it. Don't work it out before you start working on it. Just do it.
Well, yeah, what we've done is we've put tons of ideas. We took stories, you know, shared stories with friends and kind of just got ideas on paper, but we just haven't got through the process. I mean, we have it all in our heads.
Yeah.
But we just haven't put it on paper, and that's the process we're kind of stuck at, you know, trying to actually sit down and not go crazy writing all this down.
Yeah, but Danny, and again, anyone who's listening, this whole, like, well, I don't want to write it if no one's going to read it, or I don't want to write it if it's not going to sell, or I have writer's blocks, all bullshit. Just start doing it. I mean, the last two sitcoms I did, which didn't get picked up, got the reason we made, and by the way, making a pilot, that's a $2 to $3 million commitment. So not getting on the air sucks, but getting someone to fork over $2 or $3 million so you can shoot your comedy pilots, still a little bit of an achievement. And we got it made because we wrote the script. We didn't pitch the idea. We wrote the script first. And okay. If nothing ever comes, look, I've still done more free shit in this business than I've done shit I've got paid for. And I've been being paid. I've been getting paid for 15 years and I still have done more free shit. When you add up all the work I've done versus all the work I've done and got paid for, still done more free shit. So, Danny, you got to do some free shit, brother.
Okay. Yeah, I just...
Just start going.
I will.
Write your script and just start going. That's
after
all.
I get off work.
Okay. All right, buddy.
Okay, thanks, Adam.
Good luck to you. All right. Let me talk to... Will?
Yeah, hey, Adam.
What's going on, Will? Are you 14 years of age?
Yes, I am.
Wow. What's up?
Well, I was just wondering about your childhood, because I heard you say before that you were dead inside, and I think I'm almost there, and yeah. I want to know how that helped you out in your adult life by not really having a childhood.
Well, you know, the upside is almost everything's gravy. I mean, even gravy's gravy. I grew up deprived of gravy. So around Thanksgiving, I'm pretty excited about that nice brown gravy. But I don't like the white stuff, especially with the breakfast. What were you talking about? Food? Oh, yeah.
We're talking about my
deprived childhood. Well, there's certain things. I mean, some of it is just mechanical, like, you know, having air conditioning and sleeping on a nice mattress with a comforter and having a pillow that's filled with goose down feathers versus bad thoughts, which is where I grew up. That's all nice. On the other hand, you do get sort of hard inside, and when you get a little bit hard, it becomes hard for people to penetrate that. So you get a little bit of a thick exterior. You know, you get a little callus built up on the part of your brain that's supposed to be a little bit softer and a little more nurturing. And you don't learn certain things like people's birthdays. You know, they want a birthday card, things like that. You don't realize that a lot of that stuff is a learned behavior from childhood. And, I was just thinking about it the other day. Like, my dad's 80th birthday, I think, is coming up, and I don't know when his birthday is. Now, do you have, and, you know, I don't know when my anniversary is. I don't know when anyone's birthdays are. My kids are easy, because they're born 6-7. That one I got. And no, I don't have anyone else's in my head. And I don't think that way. And that's one of the negatives of growing up the way I grew up. One of the positives of growing up the way I grew up is people can say horrible shit to you and you don't really think that much about it. You know what I mean?
I just like to say that I called in because I'm a big fan of yours.
Well, what are your parents doing?
My mom, she'll be out of jail in December. My dad's working.
What's she in jail for?
Possession and DUI.
Drug? And your dad's working.
Yeah.
What's he do?
Well, it's just...
What's he do?
He works at a country club. He's a chef and runs the place, sort of.
But he works at a country club that he could never get into?
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, all right.
No, I called in and I listened to you because it sounds childish to even say this, but I feel more adult than I actually am because...
Yeah, well, you have to become an adult quickly.
A lot of stuff did or did not happen.
Well, what happens is, look, there's two sides of it. There's a mechanical side of it, like you learn how to do laundry, you learn how to cook, you learn these little life skills
Yeah.
Okay. And sorry, I'm distracted by something that's pissing me off. But you learn these life skills because you have to learn these life skills. Like if you don't know how to cook, then you're not gonna eat. If you don't learn how to do your laundry, you're gonna be walking around with stinky shorts because your dad's lazy and your mom's lazy, or they're drug addicts, or they're not taking care of you. So there's a part of this that sort of makes you become an adult, not only sort of in the life lessons, but also emotionally. You got to take care of yourself early on. And that's probably what's going on with you, right, Will?
Yeah. Well, now I'm living with someone else to where I do have some nice things and people.
Who are you living with?
So that's better.
Who are you living, Will? Who are you living with?
My grandparents.
Oh, okay. They're going to take care of you?
Yeah.
Okay. So how are you doing in school? Do you have friends?
Yeah, I got plenty of friends.
You do?
Yeah.
Well, that's what you have to do, Will. You have to surround yourself with your friends. And they're never really going to, you know, fill up whatever that hole that gets in your heart over your family. But, Will, just let me give you some advice. Your parents are who they are. You're not going to change them. You're never going to change them. You think you're going to get Mama to love you, and you're not. You think you're going to get Daddy to love you, and he's not. He's who he is. It's sad. It's his loss. But let's not spend a bunch of time trying to convert them.
Wait a minute. May I say something first?
Yes.
My father does love me, but my parents never married, so my mom had custody over me.
Right.
And
bad times, yeah.
Lived together until I was like 4.
All right, but your dad loves you.
Yeah.
But he loves you in a bullshit way, or he loves you in a real way where he takes care of you?
I don't, whenever I see him, he's pretty nice to me.
Yeah, so is the UPS guy.
Good point.
Yeah. Listen, Will, let me just say something. I don't like all this bullshit where people go, I love you. Of course I love you. Now, I'm not feeding you, and I'm not cooking for you, and I love you. Now I'm going to the track. That's bullshit. You shouldn't be able to even say you love someone unless you're willing to put out, unless you're willing to get up early and cook them a breakfast and make sure they have warm clothes in the winter, and you go out to the yard and throw a ball back and forth with them a little bit. That's a bullshit thing. I really resent it, and I really don't like it. That's right. What are you talking about? I love my family. Yeah, you do, except for you're living in fucking Florida, and they're in Nebraska. You know what I'm saying? You don't love your family. You shouldn't be able to say that. Or, by the way, who gives a shit? Then it's academic. So you love them working from Florida, chartering out a boat, and you send them a fucking stuffed animal once a year for Christmas. All I'm saying is this, Will. Don't get all caught up in your mom and your dad and the love and all that. You have decent grandparents. They're taking care of you. Let your friends take care of you. You take care of your friends. And your ultimate revenge on your hapless mom will be your wildly successful life. Okay, Will? But don't take it out on yourself. It's nothing personal.
Well.
It's nothing personal. I don't care who. I don't care if Tom Cruise was their kid. They wouldn't love it. Well, he's pretty good looking. Let me pick a less attractive celebrity. Tom Hanks. He's pretty witty. Okay, the point is, it's nothing to do with you. I don't care who their fucking kid was, they would not love them, and they would not raise them the right way, because that's not what they're capable of, and I guarantee they didn't get raised that way either. Thanks, Will. Take care of yourself, buddy.
Okay, I can't wait for this to air.
Air, yes. Yes, it will air. All right, buddy. Good luck on the speech and debate team in high school, huh? All right, let's try one more. Let's see. Let's take another call. Hey, Tom.
Hey.
What's going on, Tommy?
Oh, nothing.
What's your question?
A new store came into Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
To one of our malls.
Uh-huh.
And we got to talking in the office about it, and it's an American Girls doll store.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard of them?
Yeah, I think I've seen those on.
Sure, your wife's heard of it.
Yeah, I've seen them on the commercials. You mean where they're all dressed like whores?
Well, no, I think that's the Bratz.
Oh, that's the Bratz.
Basically, my point is the American Dolls, they're insanely expensive, and, like, it's based out of Chicago, and...
Hold on, Tom, how come you know so much about dolls?
Because I work with a couple chicks who told me all about it.
Oh, okay, so the Bratz are the ones that are all dressed...
Those are the whore bags.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. Anyways... They're insanely expensive, and
yeah.
You know, I always hear you going.
Well, how much are they? How much is insanely? I'm looking at the American Girl.
Oh, like over $100.
Yeah.
Just for a doll, and you can get their ears pierced, and have someone you pay them to do it, and get their hair done.
Oh, yeah.
And
so
moms,
it's over $100.
Moms across the nation.
So you know what I want you to do, Tom? You get out front of that store and yell with a bullhorn and yell over $100 for a doll you can't even fuck. This is un-American.
Oh, shit.
You pay to get their nails done, you pay to get their hair done, and all that bullshit.
Yeah, I just think it's crazy, you know?
Yeah.
I just wanted to get your general thoughts on that.
This is why the fucking terrorists hate us.
Oh, yeah.
Well, let me explain something, too.
Please.
My house is turned into a fucking Toys R Us. I mean, you open a closet, you're buried with toys. There's fucking toys everywhere. The whole house has been overtaken with toys, and the kids have toys. And let me tell you something. It doesn't mean anything to them. They don't care anymore. I woke up my daughter this morning, and I was like, all right, we're heading downstairs. And she was like, all right, let me grab my traveling companions. And she was just sitting there in her bed, and she's like, all right, I get this one and this one. It was out of a movie. She had arms filled with like 18 stuffed animals. She was going to truck them all downstairs, except for she has 18 other stuffed animals downstairs. And my son's got train sets everywhere and shit's everywhere. And you bring home a toy now, they look at it for about 10 seconds, they kick it around the house for a few minutes, and then they move on. Like, they're done. They're like Jay Leno in his car. So he doesn't know which one to fucking look at anymore. He's got too many. We need to reel it in. Like, toys are for Christmas and your birthday. And when daddy's been out of town fucking somebody else for a while. Those are when you get toys. Not every goddamn time I come back from a business. Where's the shit? Where's the toys? I'm telling you, my whole fucking plan is to open up a place at the airport called Loser Dad. Just right next to the Cinnabon. And a bunch of fucking dads would be coming in there off the off business trips, like desperate, like 7 a.m. flight out of Albuquerque.
Oh,
and they'd
yeah.
be like, oh,
there's
shit.
There's your $100 doll.
I fucked up. And they'd be like, oh, how much for that Dora the Explorer stuffed Dora the Explorer doll there? And I'd be like, $1,800? And they'd be like, fuck! Do you take credit? And that'd be it. Yeah, it's called Loser Dad. Put it right in between the... that pretzel? I put it in between the pretzel joint, Retzel's Pretzels,
yeah.
and a soft swirl ice cream place. It's going to be awesome. All right, yeah. I don't approve of look, any toy that costs over $100 should have a motor in it and wheels. Thank you, Tom.
All righty.
Well, that about does it for the Me and You show. Sorry it was short, but hey, it's free, so quit fucking complaining. So, until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Adam Carolla saying mahalo.
All right, that was Adam on the phone lines with listeners back in 2010.
It may have been you if you're listening. Like, what happened to my call? There you go. It was recorded.
Yeah. If any of those callers were you listening, email us and let us know. classics@adamcarolla.com. You can also email that address if you'd like to request a clip. Or you can tweet us at Giovanni Giorgio, at Chris Loxamana. We're also on Instagram, Facebook. And just let us know what you want to hear on the show. We love the listener requests and playing your favorite moments from
the
Adam
Carolla
Show.
We need some more requests. There's a bunch of them I'm still trying to fulfill. Like, for several weeks, Chris just cracked one of them, Gina's Don't Care Drop, which we will have next week thanks to Chris's crystal brain.
I know. I am the foremost expert on all things Adam Carolla. And I'm glad everybody knows it now.
Let me just call this assassin real quick.
Yeah. All right, let's get going with another clip. But before that, I also want to remind everybody that Adam has a book coming out. I Am Your Emotional Support Animal, Navigating Our All-Woke, No-Joke Culture. And it is available for pre-order, on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. Just go to adamcarolla.com. You'll find it. All right, this next clip, this is also from 2010, but February, and Marc Maron came by.
His first appearance, he was only ever been on air with Adam prior to this on the KLSX morning show in 2007 with Bonaducci, and he has some great observations about how Adam was struggling to run that show at the time and contain things and have guests on. It's a very hilarious to hear Adam almost have a moment of like, oh, thank you for witnessing that. And I was actually in studio for this episode. It's why I chose it. I was there in studio for various reasons, and I watched a bunch of episodes record, and I got to hang out with Marc Maron beforehand, watch him eat bran muffins, and me and the staff before you, they were there as well. Logan, Katie, a couple other people. Some people still there, some not. And it was just a fun hang. And he went in the show, and it's one of the funnest episodes I think I've ever heard of these one-on-ones, where they just start on this immediate rapport. And he's gone on to guest on the show many more times since. He's done live episodes. He's done basically every type of episode of the show you can imagine, every studio format. This is Adam Carolla Show 255. It's from February of 2010. This is Marc Maron's ACS debut.
Welcome to the podcast, Marc Maron. Good to see you, Mark.
Nice to see you. Been a while.
Yeah.
I was on your show once before, and I remember you just trying to keep Danny Bonaducci from talking.
That was the name of the show.
Right. And I just sat there watching you trying to shut him up and occasionally going, all right, Mark. And that was like 15 minutes of that.
Well, it was funny because I talked to Mike August, our booker, and I said, Marc Maron was on our radio show a year or so back or whenever it was. And he said, no, he wasn't. And I was immediately talked out of you being on the radio show. And because I'm so scatterbrained, if somebody said, you don't have a dick, you have a pussy, I'd be like, you sure? And they'd go, yeah. And I'd go, I'd really have to drop my pants.
Yeah.
I had Jimmy Kimmel talk me into a on-ramp or off-ramp or whatever it was on a freeway that in a town that I grew up in North Hollywood.
Right.
And I grew up right here, just a mile away from where we are. And one time me and Jimmy were going to Yosemite to a wedding. And he said, you know, we should just hop on the 5, just take the 101 to the 134, and we'll get on the 5 going northbound. And I said, you can't go from the 134 heading toward Pasadena. This is all boring. Toward the 5 going northbound. And he said, yeah, you can. I said, no, you have to get off the freeway. And he said, I did it yesterday. And I said, I've lived in this town my whole life. I've gone through that intersection 35,000 times. There's nothing there.
And you knew.
I knew.
You knew, but you did what he said.
I knew, and he said, I went to Costco in Burbank yesterday, and that's how I got there. And I said, do I have a dick or a pussy? And he was like, I did it yesterday. And I was like, all right, boss, let's go that way. And sure enough, it wasn't there.
Right.
But he'd actually convinced me in a town I'd lived in and on a freeway that I drive on an almost daily basis that a huge concrete, I mean, the size of...
You just missed it. You never saw it.
Yeah, like in the movie Speed, where jump. That somehow that had been there since my childhood, and yet I'd gotten off on Victory every time and drove around.
Well, if I'm in a car, this always happens to me. Like, I know where I'm going if I'm by myself, but if there's somebody in the car with me, I turn into a retard.
Yeah.
Literally. Like, I know I've been going to the same place every day, but if there's someone there, it's like, where, right here? Do we go right here?
I'm the same way when cops drive behind me.
Like, oh, yeah, even if you got nothing.
All of a sudden, I just robbed the bank.
You're guilty.
I'm a junkie. There's a hooker in the trunk.
Yeah.
I'm wearing body armor.
Right.
I'm black.
Yeah.
You know, it's like...
Everything.
I can be totally sober, high noon, look into my rear view, see the cop. All of a sudden, the flop sweat starts coming down.
Right when you see it in the mirror. Shit, cop. It's like a reflexive thing.
And then as you're looking at him, in between the stare into the mirror and then immediately down to the speedometer, I've managed to drift over a lane and a half and come back again.
And you are guilty as
well. Now there's that overcorrection. Holy shit. And all of a sudden we got a Dukes of Hazzard situation going. And it's only a minute ago I had one elbow out the window. I was steering with my dick.
Now there's a helicopter following.
I'm totally relaxed. Yeah. Now I'm trying to outrun a copter. See if I can get to Mexico.
You're on every station on TV. Adam Carolla, high speed chase.
But it is funny, like just the acknowledgement this is why sports is amazing, because I've played in 2,000 softball games, but once in a blue moon you play in one of these celebrity all-star. We're around at Shea Stadium. There's 30,000 people there, and Jim McMahon hits a high pop fly into left field. Routine play at best, but not when there's 1,000 people just in the lower deck yelling, "Don't miss it, don't miss it, don't miss it." All of a sudden, it is the toughest play of your life.
Did you miss it?
No, I caught it, and I think I'm not complete. I also robbed Brian McKnight, by the way, of a home run that game. But that is the difference between there are people that
you choke, sure,
and there are people that sort of rise. And I guess everyone in the NFL and the NBA is a Kobe Bryant is a guy who wants the rock with 3 seconds left to drain the three. And
he's not thinking, shit, I don't think I can do this.
No.
There's no second guessing.
He's thinking, I'm the only guy who can do this versus, everyone's going to blame me. Yeah.
I never was a sports guy. I'm one of those, I don't know what you would call them, but I mean, there are dudes that are into sports, and I was never wired that way.
Right.
And I never quite understood it because I just don't, like, my sporting career ended in Little League. I got hit in the face with a ball in center field, and I knew I wasn't cut out for it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm okay at mind games. I'm good at that. I'm really
Did
good
McMahon
at
it. Did McMahon hit it, or was it Brian McKnight?
No, just some kid.
Oh, non-celebrity. Okay,
no celebrities at all. Back when I was playing Little League, they put you in center field because you were fat and no one could hit it that far.
Mm-hmm.
So the one time that one came to me, I tripped, and it bounced off my face and broke my nose, and that was the end of it.
You broke your nose.
Yeah. But I never watched sports. I never understood the appeal of it until I worked with Frank Santarelli. You know Frank Santarelli? He's a comic from Boston. He played the bartender on The Sopranos.
Mm-hmm.
I did a show with him where we sort of co-hosted, and he was like, "You know, you're going to watch the game?" And I'm like, "I don't really watch football." And he looked at me like, "How can you not watch football?" I said, "I'm not wired for it." And he literally, with panic in his eyes, said, "Then how do you feel alive?" And then I understood the compulsion, the sort of like the excitement of watching sports. But I watch sports like a girl. Literally, I don't know teams, and I'm just like, hey, he hit it. That's good, right?
It's better.
Yeah,
like it really is. Like it's almost like not enjoying video games. Like you should hope that your kid doesn't enjoy video games. Unless you want to fuck in the next room and you want to keep them busy for 20 minutes.
I bought you an Xbox.
I say 20. I include a long refractory period and a shower
it's sex
in
time.
There.
Yeah.
But you should hope that, you know, he's not into video games, and you should hope that he doesn't have a team. Because people look at that as, you know, well, what do you mean? This is one of the greater joys in life. But not really. First off, your team, even if you follow one of the better teams, even if your team is the Dallas Cowboys or the New England Patriots or the Yankees or whoever, 9 times out of 10, you ain't bringing home the Lombardi Trophy. Like, your team is going to do more losing than winning of big games.
But I think that's what's important. Do you have kids?
Yeah.
Well, I think the one thing that I regret, you know, being a kid, is that if you teach a kid to have a healthy sense of competition, if you teach a kid how to lose with some grace, mm-hmm. he's going to be better off in life.
Oh, but, I agree. I mean, what I'm saying is, you know what? Let's get a couple of plugs in, and then we'll jump right back into this, because I want to mention that Mark Maron has a very successful podcast called What the Fuck. Well, it's WTF, and you can find it on iTunes. I've listened and enjoyed. Mark has been a guest on my radio show, and that's where I knew I liked him. Although, again, I was talked out of it by Mike August. You can follow Mark on Twitter at Mark Maron and What the Fuck WTF Pod. Also, quick piece of news. Shout out to my buddy Seth MacFarlane and what he's doing over there at the Gibson Amphitheater. That is coming up this Friday. Tickets still available. They're doing a table read. They got the Always Sunny in Philadelphia guys. I'll be roaming around backstage. That's coming up. We're coming up in Irvine on Wednesday. First show sold out. Still tickets for the second show. Also, the El Portal Theater right here in North Hollywood. We'll be playing that. What is that, the 27th, Donnie?
Either way, that's coming up. You can go to adamcarolla.com and check that. And something I want to talk to Mark about before we get back into ruining our kids, monetization of the podcast, how to make money. You have a very successful podcast. We have a successful podcast.
You making money?
Well, here's one of the ways we're starting to make money.
Should I get a pad?
you'll remember.
All right.
What we did is we started going out and doing these live shows. And I don't know how it got started. I don't know if the Irvine Improv reached out to us or that was a Mike August booking thing. But next thing you know, we're doing live podcasts.
I do one a month.
One live.
Yeah.
One a month. What we decided to do, and I made a deal with our listeners, and so far they've responded, which is we'll go out and do two shows at Irvine next week. We'll do two shows in Ontario. Well, actually yesterday. And what we will do is we will give you one show and we will sell you the second show. So, and if you choose not to buy it, we will have a podcast that day anyway.
Right.
We're not going to be trying.
So you're saying sell the podcast.
We'll sell. Yeah. We'll do two live shows.
Right.
So we'll provide you a podcast Monday through Friday.
Right.
On Friday, there'll be a bonus podcast. That'll be the second live show.
Right.
That's a 90-minute comedy show that people paid $25 to get into plus a 2-drink minimum. It's yours for $2.99. We tried that for the first time last Friday and have sold over 3,000 of them. We don't get to keep all the money, but so far, a pretty good little experiment.
That sounds good.
And I'd like to do it if you guys respond the way you have been responding and being as generous as you have been. I'd like to try it on a weekly basis. I'd like to give you one free live show and sell you one. Now, just to show you where Mensch is, we did only one show at Brea last week, and we gave that one show away. We didn't do two shows. Had we done a second one, we'd put that up for sale.
Right.
So you get one for free. The other one is $2.99, and we keep the lights on here at the warehouse.
That seems like a good plan. See, I go with another plan. I just basically say, send me money.
And how does that work?
Well, what I do is I'll just say, look, we want to stay listener supported because the choice becomes like, do I create a different infrastructure and have a pay site and put a portion of the show up and then drive people to the pay site, which means that not everybody can listen to it because you're going to lose half the people.
Right.
So I just do an NPR model. I say, look, we take donations. I like this I'd like to make a living at this and I'd like to pay my producer. And you can do a rolling subscription where you get $10 a month mm-hmm. for 8 episodes a month. I'll send you T-shirts, some swag,
right.
or else just send a donation of your choice. How's it working? It works okay. I got a few. I ain't making a living yet, but I think that's the way to go for now. But I like your idea. I mean, I do the UCB Theater. We're doing another live show on February 19th. We do it once a month, but that's just for fun. But I think that's a good... You got to set up a whole different thing, right, to get the pay site going.
Yeah, you do, and it takes a little work, and it takes Professor Sandy Gans over here, who knows his way around a computer and got shit-canned from his computer job, which is serendipity for us.
You have an army of interns here. How do I get interns? You've got.
Well, I'm just fucking them. They're not doing anything.
All of them you're fucking?
Yeah. Even that Asian guy back there.
You're a lot more open-minded than I thought. I'd heard things about you. But
well, I wasn't going to do it until this whole Letterman thing
came out. You felt like you had to.
Well,
they're interns.
I went in Rome.
Fuck them. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah, I hear you.
Right. They're interns. Fuck them. It's
part of the learning experience. This is the life of hard knocks, man.
Yeah.
You get an education in radio, and also you get fucked by Adam Carolla.
Yeah, and believe me, you won't even remember it the next day.
Yeah, I understand. I have no idea what happened the time I was on your show that you don't remember.
That's right. That's the point. You move on. You could do worse than me.
Yeah, and then you learn something about yourself. Like maybe that sexual confusion is over. Adam showed me that. It's not for me.
And then just think about the ladies. You've all fucked some guy you were drunk in college that you didn't want to fuck.
I was that guy. Yeah.
Yeah, you all fucked a Marc Maron, a younger Marc Maron.
Younger, angrier, drunker Marc Maron.
You took a Silkwood shower and dusted yourself off and got back to do the books. And I'm saying, I'm technically a celebrity. You could do worse.
Sure,
you know?
Yeah. Yeah, just don't tell your friends about it and live with it.
I love the fact that
quit crying.
Women have almost, I'd say at least half the guys, the difference between men and women is if you bring up a chick that we fucked in our past, we sort of look up and go, yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's like, for me, it's like talking about playing high school football. Like,
that was the day. Yes, yeah, I remember that.
Those are some sweet times.
Sure.
When you talk about it to women, they go,
why'd you bring that up? I shouldn't have ever told you I did that.
Brett Rattlestein. Oh my God. What was I thinking? No guy's ever fucked a chick and went, what was I thinking?
Yeah.
It was the other one. Well, they will.
They knew exactly what
they
were thinking.
Yeah. Here's where they go, what were they thinking? You go, dude, you should have hidden one of those flip cameras in the hamper so you could watch. Yeah, I know. What was I thinking? Why didn't you film it? What was I thinking?
I was talking to this girl about that last night. I've been dating this woman, and I remembered there was one of these situations because we were talking about parking tickets. And when I worked, I used to live up at the Comedy Store when I was a kid. I did my graduate work in drug use with Sam Kennison.
Really?
Yeah, back in the late 80s. I was a doorman at the store. And I used to park my car there, and I had this woman at the house, and she had parked up on the street that always gave tickets. And we were drunk, and we had sex, and it was dirty. There was a lot of wrong involved. Mm-hmm. And we get up the next morning where she just wanted to slink out, but her car had been towed.
Uh-huh.
So I had to drive her down to the impoundment lot, and she had no fucking desire to be with me. The evening was over.
Yeah, yeah.
It just extended.
It was light. Yeah.
Because I'd forgotten, because I haven't drank in like 10 years, just that feeling of waking up, whether you're a guy or not, just sort of like, oh, Jesus, what did we end up doing?
Right.
But, you know, you're sort of proud of it nonetheless.
Yeah, look, it still counts as a W.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a win, even if it's a forfeit or, you know, even no matter what it is, technical knockout, still, you get a win. You had sex. We can put a notch in your bedpost.
You
worked at the Comedy Store back in the 80s and hung out with Kennison and did the whole thing?
Oh, dude, it was crazy. Yeah, hell yeah. I was I just got out of college. I drove my car across country, and I became a doorman at the store. I was like 21 years old.
Where'd you get out of college?
I went to Boston University
mm-hmm.
for 5 years undergrad, kind of stretched it out. And you know how it goes.
Drove out here.
Yeah.
I wish I knew how it went. I really do. I started cleaning carpets and then dug ditches out of high school.
I did that after college.
So you drove out from Boston. And you basically started working at the Comedy Store.
Well, I wanted to be a comic, so I auditioned around, and Mitzi saw me, and she said something weird like, you know, you're funny, you're a poet, you should wear a scarf, you know, and work the door. So I got the doorman job, and within about 2 months, I got sort of taken in by the Kennison clan and became this weird mascot, and she put me up at that house behind the Comedy Store where it was basically a boarding house for comics, and that was where Sam would have his party. So I spent a lot of time, you know, chopping Sam Kennison's coke and listening to him talk for 9 hours straight and burning money. It was a weird time, dark, weird time.
And Kennison was at his zenith at that time
just coming on? I was there when the HBO special premiered. So it was a real lesson in celebrity, because I got chewed up and spat out by this town, and I left, and I was, you know, out of my mind on blow, hearing voices in my head. It's interesting when you hear voices in your head, just how it's always always many, it's never one. You always spend a lot of time trying to get them to pick a fucking leader and tell you what to do. But but I left and I restarted my career, but it was a pretty dark, weird time.
Yeah. And I guess as a parent, like, your parents probably wish you could have driven out to L.A. and hooked up with Bill Cosby.
Yeah. My dad still thinks that way about show business. I get these calls from him, and he's like, you know, why don't you call Bill Maher? He seems to know what's going on. Like, yeah, that'd be a call Bill would want. Hey, Bill, it's Mark. Yeah, I met you a couple of times. My dad says I should call you, and maybe you could guide me a little bit in the business.
I would love either a 3-hour documentary or a coffee table book on parents and their retarded advice about this business.
Yeah.
And you should do, you know, I like that, you know, first off, I like when they, you should work with Sam Peckinpah. He's awesome.
I enjoy his movies.
He's dead and I don't know him, and I can't make my own movie. I had my uncle, I had a weird thing happen last night. Which is, okay, there's a fairly popular sports caster, announcer, guy, he's on KFI out here, I think. He's on 570, same station Petros and Money are on out here. His name is Tony Bruno. And he's this bald guy, and he's been doing sports talk for a long time. He's like, and he kind of sounds like he's from the East Coast, like a Philadelphian kind of thing. And he's like, hey, what's happening? I'm Tony Bruno. So I'm getting all these calls, and I'm looking at my caller ID, and it says Anthony Bruno on it, and my uncle is Vince Bruno, and I think half the people I know, their caller ID is different than what they go by, sure. Which is fucking confusing. Yeah. But either way, so I think all right, I guess it's my uncle. Vince Bruno's calling me. I'll call him back. So I just hit return, and it rings, right. Rings the phone. And the phone picks up. It's like, hello? And I said, yeah, this is Adam Carolla. Oh, hey, Adam, this is Tony Bruno. And I said, oh, Tony Bruno, what's happening? Hey, I hope you don't mind me calling you at home. And I met him a couple times, yeah. And I pass him in the hall, and he's probably said, hey, can you do my show sometime? And I think it's just he got my number for some other guy at the station, and he's just calling me. And it's like, so I think I'm talking to Tony Bruno, the L.A. sportscaster, when I'm really talking to Anthony Bruno, who lives in Philly, who's the, like, cousin of my uncle, Vince Bruno. I'm talking to another guy.
Right, so you're doing
I'm talking to a family member.
Well, you're doing show business politeness.
Yeah,
and right. It's just some dude.
Hey, hey, Tony, hey, awesome. I probably was confused with that. Hey, just great, digging the show.
Whereas if you knew who it was, you would be like, what do you want?
Right.
Yeah.
So he's talking to me, and after a while, it starts to dawn on me who this guy is, and he's a Bruno, and he's not a sportscaster, and he sounds like the guy, but I'm calling Philadelphia, and it's midnight, because it was last night at 9 o'clock, and he's telling me that, you know, he's a songwriter, and wants to know if I can hook him up.
He's got a song for you can use on the podcast. Yeah,
got a few songs.
Yeah.
And went and tried to get an agent. Problem is the guy I went and met with didn't have a cassette player. He just had, you know, he has the stuff on cassette.
Oh, yeah, that's a popular format now.
Sure.
Cassette,
what about a wax cylinder, Tony?
Sure, why not? How about an 8-track?
Right. Yeah. So he and then says, hey, saw your movie on Showtime. Good movie. Why? I don't understand. They do this. Why wasn't it a bigger movie? And
that's the worst.
Well, you know, Orion wanted to release it, but I said no. Oh. They wanted to put on 3,200 screens. I said over my dead body.
Yeah.
Then Will Ferrell wanted to throw a whole bunch of money in his name
it.
But I said I punched him in the balls and spat on him. So they want to know why it's not bigger.
But my dad does this thing where he's like, he gets involved in wacky sort of business schemes. Like he's a he's a strange guy, manic depressive nut. But manic depression is very exciting half the time.
Sure.
But so he's into vitamins now.
Right.
So I get this advice sort of like, you know, maybe since you don't seem to be taking off, maybe you should be the vitamin comic. I don't even know what the hell that means. Like, you do 15 minutes, you can sell my program. Vitamin regimen, but you make jokes about it. Maybe you come out, we'll tour together.
Right.
The last fucking thing I want is to be on the road with my dad. You pitching vitamins?
Imagine being on the road with your dad.
With a briefcase full of vitamins. Fuck. But there's part of me thinking like, well, if this doesn't work out, who knows?
Yeah, talking about bee pollen in front of an angry crowd.
They just don't have any understanding. It took me a long time to not get angry about it, but they just want the best for you, and they don't know what the hell you're up against.
And no, to be fair, they think you're further along than you are.
Because they see you on TV, they're like, it's going well.
And the guy's like, oh, it was The Hammer was a great movie. You should make another movie. I'm like, nobody wants to make another. I can't make another. Why not?
Yeah.
I said, well, listen, we couldn't get our movie distributed because there was no names in it. You're a name.
Right.
I said, well, not TV, but not movie.
Or how about, do you ever get that thing where they know somebody else in the business?
Yeah.
Like my mother's got a friend whose kid directs documentaries.
Right.
And so I got to hear about that. Like she, just because the woman told her about her kid having this movie, all of a sudden that guy's doing better than me.
Right.
She goes, why? You know, Billy's got this film that's going to be in two places.
I know.
Like, it's gonna... Why don't you talk to Billy? It's like, don't you understand what I'm doing?
Yeah.
I got my own thing here. It's going fine.
Our old neighbor, Dorothy Gravitch, is writing a children's book. Oh, hold on.
You should have her on your podcast.
Why podcast? I'll just turn on the Tonight Show. She'll be there, right?
Yeah. And then my dad with the podcast, like, how do I get it? Like, you go on the site and you get it. He's like, I don't know.
too much.
Yeah. Yeah. My mother listens, though.
This guy, the funny thing about Tony Bruno was also there's that thing where you do the wrap it up conversation, you know. So he's like, well, what should I do? And I said, well, you know, what you need to do is you need to get this thing off of a cassette and get it into a computer. So you need like a digital copy of your demo tape. They can burn a disc, you can email it, a file, yeah, you know. So find some local kid who's got a Macintosh and something set up in his garage, get a digital recording and a file of it. Then when you do that, we'll have something, right, and maybe you can send it to me and I'll forward along to an agent or something. Then they take a beat and they go, right now it's on a cassette. And you go, yeah, I know.
Yeah, we get that.
Now time for lap two. Yeah, what you need to do is you need to find a guy who's got a Macintosh and get it digitized. Yeah, because I just recorded it in my den on a cassette. Right. Absolutely got that part. Understand.
Or else they get wind and they're like, oh, yeah, all right.
Also, you know, like the other, like if this was a conversation about, it's literally like them going, I slid off the road, I hit a tree, I caved in my quarter panel, and the Malibu I need to go to a body shop. And you go, well, okay, you need to take it to a fender place and get it repaired. And then they pause and go, there's a dent in the quarter panel. Then you go, yeah, I know. You need to take it. And they pause again and they go, yeah, I slid off the road.
Yeah. But
I get the part where there's a fucking dent in the side of your car. Let's get to the part where we fix it. And by the way, this is probably why you're 66 calling me and looking for a record deal.
Well, I had an experience where I had a guy on my old radio show.
By the way, you don't.
I'm a little worried about this.
He did this one too, where he did this one too, where he said, "I don't know anything about computers." No shit. The mix cassette. Let me know.
But you got to be careful with the, like, I had a guy used to be on my old radio show. He called in, kind of a goofy guy, wrote songs. We put him on the air, right?
Right.
That was years ago. So now I got this guy still writing me, like, you know, when am I going to be on the show? And then all of a sudden the emails become crazy. Like, he's clearly mentally a little problematic, and they keep coming. And I can't respond to him anymore because it's weird and creepy. Yeah. And because of Facebook and Twitter and everything else, he knows where I'm going to be and what I'm doing. So I go up to Seattle to do laughs for 3 days. I do a podcast up there. The guy on the podcast mentions that I'm in town, and he guesses the hotel where I'm staying at on the podcast. So now I got this guy. I get back to my hotel room. Hey, it's me.
Right.
I know you're here, so why don't we do a... Did you bring your recorder with you?
Right.
And now I got to deal with that. So
and you have to pretend sort of like you're happy to see him, even though you've been blowing him off for the last 25 emails.
I didn't engage, but you know, sometimes when you open the door to some people, then they're in.
Right.
And there you are.
No, listen, like stray cats, you can't leave the bowl of milk out or they're fucking coming back.
I got a lot of cats.
And that was Marc Maron making his ACS debut back in 2010.
Yeah, we'll play part two tomorrow, the second half of this episode. I took off the intro, the outro, the plugs, and just kind of left it as is because I was like, what chunk should we use of this one? And I was listening through, and the rapport is so much fun. And when Marc was waiting, I don't think he knew what the episode was going to be like or if they were going to get along or have fun in this format. And it kind of was this perfect thing that happened. I watched it. And I was like, oh, wow, these two guys were like the biggest things in podcasting. You know, Adam had the biggest show at the time, and Maron, everybody's talking about what the fuck and everything. I was like, whoa, this is... You know, most buzzed about podcasts, and they're meeting, and then they're having this great back and forth, and it was just super fun. And I was like watching the room like, oh my god, it's happening.
So make sure to check out that second half on the Corolla Classics feed. So subscribe to Corolla Classics and you'll get that on our Sunday show. Also, do you own or rent your home? Sure you do, and I bet it can be hard work, but Gio, you know what's easy?
What?
Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle. Oh, yeah. Geico makes it so easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. So it's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. So go to Geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit Geico.com today. That's Geico.com. Also, Cleveland, Indianapolis. Adam's heading over to you guys February 27th at Hilarities in Cleveland and the 28th and 29th Helium in Indianapolis doing Adam Kroll's Unprepared, so make sure to check him out. Also, my band will be playing at Tantalum in Long Beach this Wednesday, February 12th, and I'll be playing some acoustic stuff February 14th and 15th at Marina Wine. for Valentine's Day weekend. So come with your boo. All right. One more clip today. And I love this because this is basically a capture of 2010 ACS in its prime.
You were there for this.
Yeah, I was. This is September.
After the format switch, 70th episode since they switched from one-on-ones to the old radio-style format, with Brian installed sound effects permanently, and then Teresa as the news gal co-host. Adam Carolla Show 402, guest Ileana Douglas. This is before she joins them. This is the opening of the show, first half of Teresa's news. If people want us to play it, we will play the rest of this one next week or future episode. Or if you can't wait and you have to listen to it right now, Podcast One Premium, home of all your favorite podcasts. You can listen to the entire archive. You can go there right now, listen to this full episode. It's just really fun chunk of the show, and it kind of gives you an example of what it's like. We know what it's like with Gina. We know what it's like with Allison. This is what it was like with Teresa.
Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on. Mandate, get it on. Excited about gay walking. The return of gay. First, before we get to the show, I want to say good day to Bald Brian. And good day to Teresa Strasser.
Good day, Adam. Now up to Jorge and the Chopper.
Yeah.
Time, weather, it's almost like our bit.
Here's the thing that's weird about AM radio, which I don't fully understand, because AM radio is a lot of plate spinning. Like, it's a lot of going to the Chopper, going to
Jetcopter 5. Oh, there's always a contest.
Five, Stater Brothers Jetcopter 5.
Right.
And a lot of throwing out the time and right. The weather and tons of traffic.
Tons of traffic and tons of Wynn Dodgers tickets if you call in.
Right. And please tell me your heart smiles a little bit when they just tell you at the DeVore Pass and you're thinking, I've never been to the DeVore Pass. And I've lived in L.A. for 11 years.
I don't even know. Is that related to Zsa Zsa?
That's the whole point. There's a mattress in lanes,
so
look out, and divert through the Zizix off ramp, and blah, blah, blah. And you realize these places you never go. And then you take, it's essentially a steak. And if you took the steak and you trimmed away the fat, the cartilage, the gristle, the bone, and the skin, what you'd have left is a tiny cube of red lean beef. And it started off as a Fred Flintstone-sized diamond Jim Brady cut. And it's all that's left is a little cube per hour. And the thing that's interesting is the AM radio demo is probably an older demo than an FM. Now,
right.
I understand if you're programming an FM station and, you know, you got Carson Daly playing the hits for the kids, or you got Ryan Seacrest playing the Lady Gaga, and you got a bunch of 14 or 15-year-olds listening, and you're going, hey, listen, move it along, because these kids were weaned on video games and computers and high-speed modems and cable and blah, blah, blah. And it's like they don't sit around and listen to Perry Como. You gotta move it along.
Right, whereas a 59-year-old dude.
Some guy's a
Tartar demo over there.
Well, I mean, honestly, the people who listen to, at least in this town, and I would say in most towns, you know, your Dennis Prager's, your Rush Limbaugh's, and these guys are all AM radio jocks. They have an older, more conservative demographic over there. And you have guys that were in the Korean War conflict, and they don't have that same retarded metronome that the Lady Gaga fans have. So why are we hitting them with the same frenetic, crazy fucking pace that we're hitting the lady? I would say,
and slow it down even more.
Slow it down, because they're the kind of people that don't like the, hey, what's going on? You know, when they watch a movie, they'll go, oh, too many car chases, too much action, I couldn't follow. They don't want to see Avatar.
They want to see Departures.
Right. Well, I actually want to see Clint Eastwood being a racist to Vietnamese family.
Gran Torino.
A car.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, set in his ways. But the point is, they want a story, and they want to slow it down. When did the AM? I understand. Like I said, you're Ryan Seacrest, and you have to pump the jam behind it all the time. It's that constant, relentless, just pumping. Hey, Dina Lohan's coming up there, 7:45. By the way, I swear to God, that stuff, I believe that everything's just in the future on those shows. And that it never actually happens.
Dina Lohan's never on the show.
Like, I think Pump the Jam. I think they do it like that. All right, coming up, we got the Stater Brothers Jet Copter 5. She'll be giving us air traffic, and weather. Dina Lohan coming up at 7:45. Right now, it's 7:13. That's 13 after the hour. That's 47 away from the top of the hour. Let's hear some Jonas Brothers. Remember, Dina Lohan, and at some point, and I won't even blink. I'll just sit by the radio, and at some point I'll go, well, it's 7:48. That's Dina Lohan. Then I get Stater Brothers Chapter 5 going, and I'll go, wait a minute, she wasn't...
I want to know what she...
It's all just a sell, like, here's what's coming, here's what's coming, here's what's coming. It's insane. If you watch these entertainment shows...
It's always Ben Affleck coming up.
Play the music. Coming up, Cameron Diaz's top 10 looks of the summer. We're going all the way back with Cameron Diaz. We're taking a walk down memory lane with Cameron. Coming up, Jennifer Aniston. Before she was a star. By the way, I'm not interested in everyone before they were. Before she was born.
I like to see. Before, wow.
Yeah, before her mom was born. Yeah, coming up. Yeah, the zygote. Yeah, it's just pump, pump, pump. And then, wow, let's see what the Real Housewives of Orange County are really like when they're not filming. It's like pump, pump, pump. But, and then I find myself floating a little like, so did I catch Cameron Diaz's top 10 looks
because
of the summer yet?
Know. Or
did, now I want to, I'm a dude and I'm now interested in what Cameron Diaz's top 10 looks are for the summer. And then I start floating like, has that come up yet? Have we seen that?
By the way, did you notice the Emmys had, the bottom third had in 7 minutes, In Memoriam, or whatever. They were teasing what was coming up next.
Yeah. Who's going to be dead next year? And I said, you. Yeah. No,
oh
not you,
God.
Teresa. Just said you.
Oh, that's too bad. I had high hopes for a second. I will
you
say.
You know what I thank for this, by the way, is Fox
who?
Sports.
Oh, yeah.
Because the Fox box, the constant update of what's going on. That used to be, like, you knew that in sports because people would tune in, find the score, turn it off.
Right.
But no, people like to know what's going on, the time, the everything.
Can I say this? Can some merciful scientist who's listening and working on inventions for dumb people please come up with a DV fucking R where when you pause it, the bottom third doesn't just have a green long plank on it with a 22 minutes into the whatever, because that's where I'm trying to read the text for the sub whatever, or I'm trying to read the scroll. And so it happens to me, first off, it took me 7 hours and 22 minutes to watch Inglourious Basterds the other night because I kept fucking stopping the thing to read all the... Tarantino don't slow down with his subtitles. Like when those Germans are in the pub and they're going back and forth, they're going back and forth. And I read at a second grade level, and that's a second grader with a learning disability.
I was gonna say, wow, second grade now, huh?
I moved up to second, but that guy has a disability. It's
I
a
see.
Specific second grader.
It's right.
A
round
form
of
dyslexia.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I have to stop it. But when I pause it on my DVR, when you hit the pause, the whole bottom thing just says, all right, you've paused. It's like this tracking thing.
Yeah, in front of the...
In front of all the verbiage. Right.
You get a status bar.
Right, you get the status bar. Now, the whole thing about the status bars, how about you beat it after a three count? Oh, here's the thing. First off, do you think I'm confused? I stopped it. I'm aware that I stopped it. I reached up with the remote and hit pause. I hit pause. It's not like I'm going to go over and start kicking the television. Why did you stop moving on me? Come on! Like, I'm not going to hit it with paddles. I hit stop. I hit pause. Okay. Maybe have it say pause for two
second.
Mississippi.
Right.
And then go the fuck away. It drives me insane. And then so what happens is you're watching these sports shows, and the sports show has the crawl on the bottom. It's like Brett Favre injured, out for 3 weeks. But you don't really catch it.
You're predicting the future again.
Yeah, I know. You just catch a little Brett Favre something, so you rewind, except for the rewind, the bar stays out there for exactly the same time that it takes. You know what I'm talking about? Why does it need to be out there?
Two things.
Yes.
Try hitting exit or cancel. Your remote might have that button. It might make it go away.
I'm scared the whole TV will disappear.
No, I don't think it will, but
mine has a jump back button that doesn't display the
oh, really?
Bar. Yeah. It just goes back 30 seconds.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that's good.
So look for that, too.
Okay.
Two things.
Exit.
Escape, exit or cancel, and look for that little back button.
All right.
All right.
Okay.
Jump back button.
Now, speaking
for
of
that.
Jumping back, can I jump back and just say,
where was
despite
it?
The fast pace of the AM dial, I am just so fucking happy to have a job. Like, on Labor Day, I've been unemployed on many national holidays, and there's nothing.
But the cussing can stop.
So there's nothing more fucking depressing.
Mm-hmm. You have to use so many cuss words.
Oh, it would be so nice to have this day off if every other day weren't also a day off because I don't have a job. So
yeah.
I love my Peter Tilden, who now I'm, you know, his sidekick. Super nice, smart, warm.
Yeah.
Menchie.
Honeymoon.
It's a honeymoon period. You think it's going to turn south?
The bloom will be off the rose soon.
And you know what's fun? Jorge, the traffic guy, sometimes when we throw it to him, he chimes in. Like this Guatemalan immigrant, I don't know if you heard, was stabbed. He was drunk and wielding a knife. And I mean, he was shot by the cops.
Right.
And big story. I know. Hilarious. So we had to go over and over and over that. Anyway, Jorge up in the traffic chopper, he had a personal story. He was also in some sort of altercation with a crazy guy that had a knife, and the police had to shoot him.
Do they have the really bad quality microphone on Jorge? Because, you know, technology's like gone to the point now where we can have a good microphone in a helicopter.
Jorge sounds good.
Are you going to cover that story?
Today?
Yes.
I wasn't going to, but I can from memory.
Can I just chime in?
I can't tell you how much I fucking know about that fucking guy.
I don't know.
I can't tell you.
It's offensive.
I don't know any of it other than the guy was drunk and he was walking around a neighborhood with a knife,
yeah.
I guess.
He was threatening passersby, allegedly, one of whom was a woman with a four-year-old.
Right. Here's where I'm going completely insane in this town, and it's causing a friction, I believe, not only in general, in this town especially, but in the populace overall of this country, and I think it's becoming a bigger issue. Than it sort of reminds me of the OJ trial, in that there are plenty of folks I knew who formerly didn't have a racist bone in their body, but when they saw every other black person in this town fall to their knees and thank the heavens that this double murder was let out and start prancing about, they got angry and they got a little racist. Like, they got like, come on, what the fuck? Just because you're black? This guy doesn't have anything to do with you. He's a rich guy who marries hot blonde women and he kills them occasionally. What are you falling to your knees and thanking your Lord for? This is it. Did every white person I knew, no matter how progressive, had a little moment of, come on, Schwarzes,
really
get it together. And it's the same thing with this. I know the guy's Guatemalan, Hispanic, he's something, I don't know where he's from. But look, the guy's a drunken day laborer who's wielding a knife and walking up and down the street with it, a bloody knife, and brandishing it in front of four-year-old kids. And when the cop tells him to drop it, I don't care if he's fucking yawning at that point.
Told him in English and Spanish.
In English and Spanish to drop. Okay, so then they shot him. Now you guys are setting shit on fire and marching on City Hall.
22
really?
Arrests last night.
This is how you want it?
Listen, I looked and looked, and even the bleeding heart that I am, I thought, look, sorry, you were drunk, you pulled out a knife, you were threatening, they had to shoot you. That's the policy. They had to shoot you to kill you. You were threatening. They had 40 seconds between making contact with this suspect and shooting him. That's not a long time.
Here's my entire thing is, I won't even go as far as to say they had to shoot you or even they had to kill you. Yes, the guy could have shot you in the kneecap, or maybe the guy could have hit you with the taser or the pepper spray. I don't know. The point is you got drunk, you got a steak knife with blood on it, you marched up and down the boulevard waving it around. At some point, a cop showed up, and at some point, a cop drew a pistol and told you to put the fucking knife down, at which point you either put it over your head or in your ass or lunged at him or whatever you did. But I'll tell you what you didn't do. You didn't stay home. And he sure as fuck didn't put the knife down. And then you got shot. Now, here's the thing about getting shot. 50 Cent.
Wow. Got shot and lived.
He got shot nine times and lived.
You put a bad draw.
Sometimes you get shot one time.
A lot of honkies in here.
Sometimes you get shot one time and die.
Right.
Or you can get shot 12 times and live.
Listen,
it's luck of the fucking draw.
Jorge's guy lived.
Yeah.
This guy did not live.
And this is why you don't get a steak knife, walk up and down the fucking boulevard with a 40-ouncer.
You have taken on a certain amount of risk. And by the way, these were bicycle cops, three of them. They don't carry tasers.
Oh,
bicycle cops don't carry tasers. And they don't carry pepper spray. Now, arguably, maybe Little Mace would have been nice instead of shooting a guy. But they don't have that. All they have is a gun. A guy's got a knife. And he's threatening. You've told him to put it down in two languages. You've given him a chance. The knife's got blood on it. Now you're in danger.
All right, so now you have a guy, and I don't know what his history was. I think I heard he was a day laborer or something like that.
He was a construction worker with three kids and a wife back in Guatemala.
All right, so I don't know if he was here legally or not, but something just happened to my mic.
Same.
Went a little crappy. Was he an illegal alien?
I'm not sure of his status. I think he was legal. I feel like a bigger deal would have been made were he not legal.
I don't know, but...
my understanding that he's
all right,
legal.
So you got a guy here, and he's probably working under the table half the time, and he's sending money back to Guatemala, and he's probably not paying much in the way of taxes, and he's probably not contributing much except for to the local liquor store, and he's obviously got a fucking problem with booze. Otherwise, he wouldn't get a knife and a 40 and go trouncing about.
He was known to be a drunken nuisance in that area.
Okay, so now he's gone. Good. People who live in that area, who have children, who aren't drunken nuisances, and even those who are drunken nuisances, rejoice. One less drunken nuisance to fucking deal with. The point where now you're going to start some fires and go march on the L.A., you know, commissioner.
Ramparts.
Ramparts, all that stuff. That's the part that makes me want to fucking
throw
up.
By the way,
what are you protesting, dickheads?
Well, that's what I don't understand, because initially I thought this must have a racial component. The three officers involved in the shooting all have Latin surnames.
Here's my point. Fucking mace the shit out of the assholes that show up to light your cop cars on fire. What are you assholes doing? And what kind of message are you sending to your kids? Hey, I'm going to go be a nuisance and set some newspaper on fire and chuck stuff out the window and go do what? Because some drunken guy was wielding a fucking knife, took a bullet?
Well, apparently there's some legislation in New York that is pending about the using minimum force. In other words, let me just wing you in the knee and not kill you.
That's
fine.
It
seems reasonable, but that's not in play here.
I never give a shit because, like, we're having a little technical problems here, but whenever, it's funny when Dawson gives me the two thumbs up, it doesn't sound right. All right.
We're back.
It sounds fine to him, so it must be our headphones. Here's my whole point. I never worry about this stuff. Like, I don't worry about this because I know I'm never going to have a steak knife with blood on it and booze on my breath and be wandering up and down the street waving it around like a fucking machete. I also know my kids won't be either. So I don't care if they shoot you in the face or shoot you in the big toe. It's academic to me. And sadly, maybe it's just the Darwinism in me or maybe it's the atheist part of me. I like guys getting shot and killed. My whole thing is, first off, it sends a nice message. Grab a fucking steak knife, walk up and down a fucking street, wielding it drunk, you get shot and killed. And then thirdly, I didn't need this guy.
I
don't need him
you.
Taking up our fucking space. I don't need him breaking down on our fucking freeway. I don't need him sending his money either to the liquor store or back to fucking Guatemala.
Are you busy the next couple of days? You eulogize this guy.
We didn't need him, and we're glad he's gone.
Yeah.
No, it's sad. It's a human life, and he had kids.
It's no big deal. To me, it's no big deal. If this is the way, it's no, look, there's extremes. It's really, you know, hey, man, we all liked Robert Schimmel. Now he's gone.
Yeah.
And we all hated Hitler and now he's gone. That's not, Hitler dying, though, is not sad. It's not like, it's not to me, I don't have that every human life is precious. They all fall somewhere in between, you know, Mother Teresa and Hitler. And if you're a little closer to Hitler than you are Mother Teresa, good riddance, douchebag.
And by the way, there are so many worthy causes to protest and to get together and have a vigil. A drunken guy wielding a knife getting shot because he was a douchebag? I don't know.
Right.
Maybe that's a waste of your resources and your goodwill in the community.
How many of these people missed the last open house at their fucking kid's school?
A lot.
All right.
And by the way, this is very close. Ramparts is my police district. I basically live in this neighborhood. And that's why I'm closer to you now, because I don't want to go to the park. And first of all, there's 1,000 unlicensed vendors. It's hard to police anyway. And now there's a guy with a knife, and I've got my kid.
Yes.
I don't want him to be shot and killed, but if that's your only option, rather than him stabbing my kid, goodbye.
Listen, Rampart, by the way, good name for TSV.
There's a lot of scandal.
It's the part you ram.
A lot of corruption.
There's a riot. There's always a riot.
Yeah. Enough sex the other night. Had the Jew flu.
A lot of guys wearing protective gear.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of the Jew flu, did you hear that Mel Gibson guy, Officer Mee, M-E-E, is pissed off. Guess he thinks he hasn't been promoted because he was the one that, well, they suspect that he leaked the Mel Gibson rant. He's saying he didn't. The anti-Semitic Jews caused all the war rant.
This is the first rant. This is the PCH rant.
The first rant, yeah. So he's saying
he teamed up with monkey nipples or sugar tits?
It was Officer Me who caused all the wars and Sugar Tits.
Me and Sugar Tits me coming to CBS this fall.
What kind of Jewish name is Me?
I don't know. You should tell me.
I know. Was it Meesky?
I like Me and Sugar Tits.
Me and Sugar Tits.
They pull up. So he's saying that they made him erase parts of the videotape.
No time for backup, Sugar Tits. Me's going in.
Fat Boys 3. Ooh, can Avi be like their sidekick?
Oh, my God.
They're informing the streets.
Yeah, you know what? Avi can be the LL bear. Security guy, can be the dispatcher, super angry. there's some shooting at the warehouse. Haul ass over there. No time for backup. And listen, do a thing where you put flashlight in mouth and hold shotgun that make you look tough. Now go.
Now, do you think Avi would have any patience?
No, 50-50 shawarma plate. No. What is? Yes? We have what? The officer down? Well, what do you mean down? Is he grazed or is he really shot? Because there'll be no send ambulance if he's just grazed.
No, in the Israeli Secret Service, I mean, they don't put up with any
do
of
you,
this.
Did you? You turn ankle or you shot in gut? You tell Avi.
Avi's a breakout star if Sugar Tits and Me.
Oh, my God.
If Avi dispatch ambulance. And he find out you turn ankle, he'll come down and shoot you himself.
Well, we're kind of into the news. Should we officially launch in?
From the International News Center, next to Donnie's Mini Bikes,
talking about himself in the
this is the news with Teresa Strasser.
All right. Well, I can't exactly hear anything through my cans, but that's okay.
Yeah.
I feel like I can press onward.
All right.
It's the ultimate Germany or Florida.
All right.
The ultimate. A guy who is a religious leader with a kind of a handful of followers, he's decided that he wants to burn a couple hundred Korans.
Yeah.
Florida.
Yeah, I know. It's so perfect. Where do you, does he have those or does he just go buy them?
So far he has 150. I don't know how he plans to get the other 50 million on eBay.
It's that joke. I think I've seen it before, but it's like those people goes like, yeah, you know what? Everyone come down here with one of them Dixie Chick CDs and then we're going to crush it under a steamroller. And then you're like, all right, I guess I got to go to Amazon and buy a couple hundred Dixie Chick CDs. Who's the joke on?
So
you know,
true.
If you're the guy who, I don't know, Bob Coran or whoever prints those things, I don't know if it's the family business, but if you're printing those things, you should hope more people burn these babies.
Tia, there's still time to get people to burn your book.
Before you
got to say something controversial, though.
It's a good idea. You're right. It's like, I got to join the Fred Phelps and Coulter school of getting people to get pay attention to me.
Yeah.
Just say something totally nutty.
Well, you could do a couple of things. You could go both sides because you could go the sort of Dixie Chick route where you say something shitty about Bush. And then you could just go the sort of crazy, I'm starting my own religion in Florida thing where you piss off a bunch of, crazy religious people around
something.
The world. Yeah.
And it's then not enough anymore. By the way, part of this Fred Phelps, Shirley Phelps Roper, Ann Coulter, and now this Reverend Terry Jones thing, part of this syndrome is that you must have almost no knowledge of the subject matter.
Right.
This guy was a hotel manager before. Mm-hmm. He is not a scholar of Islam. He has not read the Quran.
Well.
I'm not sure if he's read the Bible. I don't know if you saw Anderson Cooper.
You can't read it. It's on fire.
That's true. Anderson Cooper had a little conversation with him. And here is...
His facial hair does not disappoint, by
the
way.
No, it's awesome.
All right.
More important. We are willing to put our own lives upon the line.
Well, you're not putting your life on the line.
The general is saying you're putting
the life of a soldier or Marine, a service member, on the line. You're saying your event is more important than potential damage, the potential killing of a U.S. soldier, U.S. Marine. Yes or no?
We are putting our life upon the line. We do feel that this event is very, very important. It needs
more important
to send
than the life
a
of a
message
Marine or
to
soldier.
Radical Islam that is it. We are burning a book. We are not killing someone. We are not murdering people. We are not dragging people out of the cars who are doctors and killing them. We are simply burning a book. The general needs to point his finger to radical Islam and tell them to shut up, tell them to stop, tell them that we will not bow our knees to them.
You've also said that you're doing this on 9/11 to honor the memories of those murdered. Do you know the names of anyone murdered on 9/11?
I do not know their names, no.
Okay, do you know the name
Aminia
Rasool?
I do not have to know
Rasool.
Their names to honor them.
Do you know the name Aminia Rasool or Gary Shimei
or Sarah
Khan? All those people are Muslims who died on 9/11, among many Muslims who died on 9/11, killed by radical Islam. Sarah Khan was a cafeteria
worker. He did a great job.
You know what I'd say to Anderson?
Gary worked at
that'd be a
dick.
But first off, that's why I always have the name Russ Gibson just in my pocket.
Do you know the name of anyone who
Russ
died?
Russ Gibson.
What did he do? Was he a firefighter? Or
you asked for a name.
Fitzgerald?
Look, is this Inquisition? What do you need? You asked if I knew a name.
Russ Gibson?
Look it up. Anyway, I'll be way down the road by the time
you look that shit up.
Yeah, what's Anderson going to do? I've memorized every fucking name of everyone who was in that tower, and there's no one named Russ Gibson?
Reverend Terry Jones had himself a little press conference today.
You know what he should have done?
What?
I'll tell you what he should have done. He should have done this. Hey, Anderson. You're one of them gay guys, right? Probably like to get married to your partner over here. You know what pisses off them Muslims? Gay guys getting married.
Ooh.
So maybe they're shooting each other over there. Maybe they're going to shoot a couple of our infantry guys or a couple of Marines just because we got the gay guys over here living in sin. Because they hate our culture, and that sure is part of it. They ain't fans of the gays. So next time you have one of your little gay bashes, why don't you guys think about that?
A gay bash
when you take
is rough,
a break from cornhole,
and I associate that with like a hate crime. Doesn't sound fun.
He's right in the sense that they will, if there is someone to go after. I mean, obviously, everyone's got an agenda. The guys who are burning the Quran are putting themselves in the line of fire, as far as I can tell. I sure as fuck wouldn't want to be.
I just can't believe that General Petraeus had to take time out from running, you know, a war. Mm-hmm. To ask this guy to step down.
It's totally insane.
And that it would endanger U.S. troops.
On the other hand, I'm glad that Raleigh Fingers landed on his feet.
Yeah. He looks good.
He does. He does have
really
interesting facial hair. So he held this press conference, and this
Petraeus
guy. Petraeus did ask him to stand down. But Terry Jones held a press conference saying, as of right now, he's not backing down. He's going to continue with his planned event, i.e. the Quran building burning.
I'm not going to say anything. Well, I probably should. All right. I got a secret plan.
What?
I'm dispatching some of LAPD's cops over there.
Ooh.
And they're going to yell, put down the Quran, and then they're just going to put him down. Problem is they're on bikes. And this guy's in Florida.
But the bike ones don't have tasers, so it's more likely to shoot.
The point is that he wants to burn the Quran in a couple of days.
Oh, how are they going to get there?
It's going to take these guys at least nine months to pedal there.
Oh, my God, this could be like a new Tour de France type thing.
This would be longer than the AIDS ride.
Wow.
Yeah. I guess I could fly the guys out, but bike cops are bike cops. You know, they like their bikes.
They do get attached to them.
Don't you get the feeling that the bike cops are a little more trigger happy than like the canine guys?
Because they got something to prove.
One guy's got himself a Crown Vic with a cage in the back and a St. Bernard or trained Cujo in the back or whatever. And the other guy's got himself a mountain bike. So I'm sure they get a lot of, hey, nice legs. How about you pop a wheelie back to the precinct and then the fucking bullets just start flying, right?
Yeah, right. You think they have nicknames like, hey, Schwinn?
Yeah. Hey,
or
what
Huffy.
What happened to your Huffy? Yeah. Yeah, and a lot of like gangbangers going, listen, I'm going to try to evade you, but I'll go extra slow because I know it's going to have a hard time keeping up on your bicycle. When they take the training wheels off, you know what I mean? These guys are probably like the chihuahuas of the police force, like they're overcompensating.
No time for kickstands.
Yeah. I would say that these guys probably shoot people a lot. You know the guy, the canine unit guy, is just a big, scary guy with a square jaw and a buzz cut. He's got a dog that does his bidding and is probably ultra secure about it. These guys probably getting fucking tired of being called the two-wheelers. And, oh, hey, I had one of them when I was in grade school.
But do you have a little bell on yours?
Yeah. Where's that little basket?
I had a basket.
Where's Toto? Where do you put Toto when you ride the basket? Yeah.
The canine guys were probably the most well-adjusted. You're probably onto something. You know, they got the dog that speaks softly and carry a big stick mentality.
Yeah, and they just do that thing.
I'm a German Shepherd here.
They just walk over to the back of the Crown Vic, open the back door, and go, get him, boy. And then they just walk back in and light a cigarette.
Angelina Jolie has stepped into the fray. She's condemning the burning of the Quran. Right now, she's in Pakistan touring the flood-hit areas.
She's condemning.
She says she hardly has the words that somebody would do that to somebody's religious book.
Well, to be fair to most of these celebrities, somebody must come up and ask them, right?
Sure. She's probably getting interviewed about the Pakistani flood victims, and they say, by the way, have you heard about this?
Right. And then in which case, you have to throw out a few good choice words, and it can't be, come see, come saw, or who gives a shit, or whatever. You have to say, like, this is tragic and it's sad that it's being done. And then you move on. Yeah.
Well, I know you guys both love that ESPN show, 30 for 30.
Oh, man. Just got done watching the Tupac one with Mike
Tyson. One night in Vegas, Tyson and Tupac.
Unbelievable. Tupac's one of these guys where it's just like, it's like, he's a black John Mayer.
What?
For every one good thing he does a shitty thing. You know, like you go, like you just sit there and you watch Tupac and you go, man, I love that guy. And then you go, man, I hate that guy. And it's one of these things where it's like he loves his mama, and it's a weird thing in the black community. Like, when you love the shit out of your mama, and you love the shit out of your grandma, and your auntie, and your sister, and all that kind of stuff, but then you treat women like shit all the time, like, what the fuck's up with that? You know what I mean? Like, you love and respect them, and you love and respect your mom, and she did all the blah, 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 and then he's like, well, I don't know if I don't know if the charges of, like, the sodomy and the whatever in the hotel room at the other guy in New York, if that... But I'm sure Mama, whatever he did, Mama probably wouldn't have been proud. Wasn't treating her like a lady. And then he got shot down at the recording studio, like, later on that night or something. Like, he went to trial, and then he went and got shot. I don't know whatever became of the trial. Maybe when you get shot 15 times, they go, back burner, that baby. I don't know. And Tyson was, like, getting put in jail, let out. They would take turns visiting each other in jail. They did this thing, Tupac and Tyson. Or I think Tupac used to visit Tyson in jail. But then Tyson used to call Tupac and go, like, hey, man, you got to reel it in a little bit, which is insane. That's like fucking Keith Moon knocking on your hotel room door when he was 23 and going, could you keep it down? Parting's a little out of hand. 4 a.m. trying to get a little shut out here.
Tyson.
You know what I mean?
Tyson
Imagine
says,
Tyson telling you to mellow out.
That, wow. I know. You'd have to take a good long look at yourself and your Maori tattoos in the mirror. Tyson says his biggest regret is that he never smoked weed with Tupac. Mm. His quote, he always wanted me to smoke weed with him, and I never did it, and I wish I did.
Grandma said the same thing on her deathbed.
Biggest regret.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a little snippet. If you didn't see it, I'm sure it's going to be running on ESPN, of One Night in Vegas.
Great song.
Bro, I ran and I hugged both of those guys. We walked into the dressing room. I told them I was sleeping late. At that particular time, I just had a brand new baby girl, so I wanted to go see my daughter. And I said, in a few minutes, I'm going to call you after I see my daughter, and then we're going to go hang out.
Looked over.
He felt really guilty because Tupac was in town to see him fight.
Yeah.
And he feels like if he hadn't been fighting that night, maybe Tupac would still be alive.
One night in Vegas, and the rappers get shot now. So what do we think? A couple of LAPD bike cops put him down? Or what? That's not going to be my conclusion on every shooting.
Everything.
And by the way, has anyone ever did this math? Suge Knight is the size of a Winnebago. And Tupac won about 130 pounds. Like, he was a really compact, looked like a gymnast. How are 5 or 6 shots fired or 10 shots fired in the car? Suge Knight gets grazed. And the smallest guy in the car takes all full 4 bullets. And the guy who, I feel like if I was just a Mexican celebrating New Year's Eve and I shot into the air, I would hit Suge Knight. He must get hit by 9 bullets every New Year's Eve. How do you miss that guy?
I think he got glazed.
Yeah.
Well, the 25-year-old rapper was shot September 7th, 1996. He was only 25. He died 6 days after he was shot.
And it was this thing where it's like he was a genius, but yet he was so angry, yet he was like he got into the fight in the MGM lobby,
right.
And it's like he was kicking this guy, and it's this thing where it's like it's kind of like the guy wielding the knife who was drunk. It's like, sorry you're dead, but don't
confront a bunch of guys who have hair triggers. And by the way, hair triggers and then triggers.
Both.
To put hair on.
Right.
And then fuck with them and then beat them up in lobbies or get into these fucking turf wars and Death Row and East Side and West Side and all that shit. Like, just fucking make your music and go home. Like, it's not his fault that he's dead, but there is a way that he could still be alive.
Well, perhaps Tyson said it best when he said he had so much love and compassion and you couldn't even see it under his rage. That, for now, is the news.
More of Teresa's news coming up. If you don't listen, you're an anti-Semite.
I want to find out if he did time. I think...
Tupac?
I think he did some time, and I never found out what happened with those rape-slash-sodomy charges.
He was jailed for sex abuse, released on bond later that year.
Oh, Suge Knight put up $1.4 million, I think, to get him out.
I'm much more interested in know what Suge Knight's doing right now. I mean, like, not at this moment, but I
Bicycle
mean,
cop.
Did his whole, like, you know, thing pay off? Like, he was a real... Remember that documentary about Troy Duffy, about the guy who did Boondock Saints? Sort of burned all his bridges and then kind of went nowhere?
Sure.
I'm wondering if Suge Knight sort of ended up the same way. I have no idea what he's doing right now.
I don't know. Maybe he's making...
Because he was notorious, you know, at the time.
Maybe he makes $1.50 every time something with Tupac's name
on
it sells.
Probably.
Now, is he the guy that dangled Vanilla Ice out the window?
Allegedly,
that's what they say. And then also, he did this sort of cryptic thing where he says, listen, where I'm from in the street, when you know who shot you, you don't get the cops involved. So he knows something. And then, Tupac did 11 months in prison. It was funny. Him and Tyson were good friends, but they're like, they had to make an agreement. Like, it'd be like if you and I wanted to hang out. And I was like, okay, T, you go to prison all the time.
Right.
And I go to prison all the time. And we have to visit each other when we're in prison.
Yeah,
so we're
going
to make sure we don't go to prison at the same time.
Yeah, we have to coordinate.
So let's say you go, let's say, March of 93 to April of 95.
Okay, I'll take spring.
And then I'll come in and go in the joint, and then you can visit me.
Okay.
But let's not fuck up and have us both go to different prisons at the same time. We won't be able to visit each other.
Listen, if you're in, like, a rapey mood, just wait a few months till I'm out.
Well, because I'm kind of more of a sodomy-y mood.
Okay, well, sodomy-y is fine. Can you sodomize somebody in winter?
When is he not in a rapey mood?
Because I can't be in the hole in the joint without you visiting me.
Yeah.
That's how I get my support.
Speaking of the hole, I am in a rapey mood. Great Billy Joel song.
Oh, I like that. Is that from Glass Houses?
Mm-hmm.
All right, and that was Adam, Teresa, and Brian hanging out back in 2010. That'll do it for Corolla Classics, so make sure to subscribe to Corolla Classics, the podcast, to get an episode tomorrow, and we'll see you there. Till then, my name's Chris Loxamana, that's Superfan Giovanni.
Mahalo, and get it on.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Get ultimate protection and durability for your painting project at Menards. Get a paint that combines durability and gorgeous color. Dutch Boy's DuraClean Interior Paint and Primer in 1 offers Stay Clean technology, making your home stay beautiful and clean longer. And with Dutch Boy's easy opening, smooth pouring container, transforming your home has never been easier. Save big money on Dutch Boy paints and head into Menards to get your paint project started today.
Save big money at Menards.